We spent a lot of time talking about who the Memphis Grizzlies don't have. No Ja, no Dez, no Zaire, no Danny Green, no Jaren Jackson Jr. We spent a lot of time talking about that, but one of those guys, and it's a big one, is well on his way back. We're going to talk about that, and we'll preview an upcoming game against one of the hottest teams in the NBA coming up right here, right now, on Locked On Grizzlies. You know what time it is. It's time to lock in.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome back to Locked On Grizzlies. I am your co-host, DeMichael Cole, beat writer here at the Commercial Appeal in Memphis, Tennessee, joined by the one and only himself, former site manager at Grizzly Bear Blues, one of the best personalities on Grizzlies Twitter right now. Whether you love him, whether you hate him, the one and only Joe Mullinax. Joe, how you doing?
One of the best personalities. I was wondering where you were going with that. How big of a lie you were going to tell to Michael, you sly dog.
There
not
it is.
Too bad.
Not personality. There
yeah.
It is.
It's hit or miss, you know, kind of like my hairline. It's receding, but still present from time to time. It's good to be back with you, buddy. We've been busy and back and forth. I know you did a great weekend episode talking about the Grizzlies' upcoming game with the Nets. And then I, you know, decided to just throw around $80 million of Robert Parrish money, which I know we'll talk more about later on in the show. But, you know, it's good to be back with you, and I'm excited to cover some positive news on the injury report for once for the Memphis Grizzlies. But before we get to that, thanks for making us a part of your Grizzlies experience, your NBA podcast experience. Maybe you're watching us on YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. Locked On Grizzlies is your place for Memphis Grizzlies content, your team each and every day. Rate, review, subscribe, all those sorts of things. Again, the comments were hopping for the episode from yesterday about Dylan Brooks. So thanks to everybody that's making that an interactive place. We check those things out. We interact with you guys there. We'll continue to do better, making sure we have a pinned kind of comment to guide the conversation. It went really well on the Dylan Brooks episode. Some good feedback there. So thank you guys for making Locked On Grizzlies part of your Grizzlies experience. DeMichael, finally, a ray of sunshine in the cloudy day that has been the Grizzlies injury report. Jaren Jackson Jr. not being on the list was not surprising. Right? Like the fact that he was getting rest against the Nets. We expected Jaren to be back for this upcoming game against the Kings, but what's Jim Ross? Jim Ross is coming on the podcast. Hold on. Jim Ross. Oh God, that's Ja Morant's music. The glass is breaking. It's Ja Morant. That's a terrible Jim Ross impression. For those of you that are wrestling fans, I apologize. But Ja Morant's all of a sudden doubtful for this game against the Sacramento Kings. And I know you know this, DeMichael, and obviously our dear folks that follow along with us here on Locked On Grizzlies probably understand. Doubtful means 25%-ish chance. Yeah, so he's probably not going to play. But the fact that he is showing that level of improvement that quickly means that the next time the Grizzlies take the floor, maybe this whole week-to-week thing is literally just 1 week and he's back at it.
Yeah, that's what I thought from the jump, Joe. You know, it's a grade one ankle sprain. You know, it wasn't grade two. It wasn't a high ankle sprain. It was just, you know, if you've played basketball, I'm sure you've twisted your ankle a little bit. And if you have one of those little minor tweaks where, you know, you're limping off the court, it's bruised up the next day, and then in a couple days, in theory, you could play. But, you know, he's an NBA professional basketball player, so, you know, they're going to take a little bit more time to nurse it and make sure – you know, he's better for the long haul, you know, not necessarily for a pickup game of 21 like you or I would do off of a grade one sprained ankle. But yeah, this was something, you know, the week-to-week thing was always an interesting way, you know, interesting verbiage to me, because it always felt game-to-game. And that's what it feels like to me. Week-to-week, who cares? It's game-to-game. when you're talking about a game one, I mean, a grade one ankle sprain here. So we see, you know, the injury report comes out. He's listed as doubtful. The Grizzlies get, you know, they'll have Wednesday. Thursday is Thanksgiving. They're not going to do much on Thursday. Friday is the next game. So seems like a very realistic chance that Ja Morant could return Friday. If not Friday, at worst, we probably could be back Sunday against the New York Knicks. So this is great news from the Memphis side of things in terms of, you know, they won't be without, you know, these guys, you know, for as long, you know, a period as some people may have thought, in particular Ja Morant. And, you know, this is big, right? You just look at the game against the Nets. The Grizzlies went into that game and went into the fourth quarter down a couple points. You have Ja Morant in that fourth quarter. Who knows what happens? Because you have one of the best fourth quarter closers there is in the game. And that's where the Grizzlies kind of came up short. No Ja Morant to kind of close that game out. And, you know, that's where they miss him. So it's good to see, you know, listed as doubtful. Again, you said it, you know, very still unlikely to play in this game. But it is a step in the right direction in terms of he is progressing. And he's not going to be out for a prolonged period of time.
I'm glad that you mentioned something about the week-to-week terminology, because I thought that was weird as well. And, you know, you mentioned my state or my status as a eccentric personality on Grizzlies Twitter. One of the things that annoys not just Grizzlies Twitter, but when I was running grizzlybearblues.com over at SB Nation, the Grizzlies PR, medical, however they decide to handle injuries, it is – I need to think of it because I know you work with them on a day-to-day basis. So I got to be – maybe they're eccentric like me in the way that they phrase things sometimes, or the way that they don't phrase things. Sometimes they give you no information at all. So day-to-day is something that is used all the time for injuries, right? So when they said week-to-week, naturally, you being a learned, intelligent, handsome man, me being a less intelligent, less handsome man – we are able to make the connection that if it's week to week, maybe it's a smidge bit more serious than day to day. But as you alluded to correctly, it seems like that may not be the case. So I'm just add this to the list of I don't understand how they handle their injury reports sometimes. And I know you can't really say anything about that, which I understand. Let me be the bad guy on that one. The next piece of it would be the idea that we haven't seen this team play together healthy the entire season. And in case people are frustrated, in case people see the Sacramento Kings, who we'll talk more about later in the show, soaring high like the beam that they inexplicably shoot from their home arena whenever they win now, which is a cool bit. That's just me being selfish and jealous. Like, that's a pretty interesting, fun thing that they do. And if you're going to be happy for a team having some success, Sacramento's had a long run of not being very good. So kudos to the Kings on their hot start. But, you know, Memphis doesn't look that impressive at the moment in terms of their place in the Western Conference standings. Just remember, this team literally has not played healthy together at any point in this entire season. And they're still treading water, still looking the part of a playoff team in the West. That's impressive considering that at no point have Jaren Jackson Jr., Ja Morant, and Desmond Bane shared the floor together in this entire season. Or if they have, it's been very brief. So that's an important thing to keep in mind. Very limited sample size of what this team's actually going to look like when they are at full strength, whatever the heck that means.
Yeah, you know, it's something we expected to see at this point. And you know, kind of got hit back to back. Boom, Desmond Bane's down. Boom, Ja Morant's down, right after Jaren Jackson Jr. returns. Mm-hmm. But it's lining up maybe to be a little bit better. You know, Jaren Jackson Jr., he's about to get a lot more minutes under his belt. You know, we talked about him being on a 25-minute, you know, kind of minutes restriction right now. And, you know, eventually that number is going to go up. He's going to be able to play more in those back-to-back 3 and 4 type situations, you know, as time, you know, progresses. And then right, and Ja Morant's knocking on the door right now. Desmond Bane, we'll see, you know, what his prognosis looks like a couple weeks from now. So, you know, a lot of moving pieces, I would say, with this team. And Zaire Williams, too. Don't forget Zaire Williams.
Absolutely.
I did see, you know, and this is saying something because I hadn't seen him in practice probably for a couple weeks. I did see him at practice. The last Grizzlies practice I saw, I think that was Friday, maybe?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, maybe it was Thursday or Friday, but did see Ziaire Williams. So there is some type of progress to report there from him and you know, from that patellar tendonitis that he's been dealing with. So, you know, you want to see what this team looks like healthy. The Western Conference is so bunched up right now and no one's separating themselves. So it's right there for the taking. And if the Grizzlies can get healthy, they can kind of position themselves for that run.
There is possibility to be sure in and around the Grizzlies roster for improvement and growth. There's also a possibility that after listening to our Locked On Grizzlies podcast yesterday, DeMichael's head exploded given some of the spicy hot takes that I had to dish out about various members of the Grizzlies roster, including one villainous member in particular. So I'm sure DeMichael will want to weigh in for a moment on that. But before we get to that, I want to make sure that I am giving a shout out to Turo. This episode is sponsored by Turo. Turo is the world's largest car sharing marketplace. With Turo, you can book any car you want, wherever you want it, from a community of local hosts. Browse a huge selection of vehicles for just about any occasion or budget. Book an SUV or minivan for a family road trip, a pickup truck for some errands, or even test drive an EV. Every trip is backed by liability insurance. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply. Forget boring rental cars and find your drive at Turo.com. That's Turo.com. DeMichael, I don't know if you're a very busy man. You know, you're a globetrotter. You are arguably the most interesting man in all of Memphis media. And I know that you still catch up and keep up with Locked On Grizzlies, as I do when we have our solo excursions. I kind of did a thing the last time that I had a solo show. I was inspired by Dylan Brooks. And you know what they say, whenever you're inspired by Dylan Brooks, you're going to have a little bit of villainous tendency to you. And I think I might have did a bad thing by committing $80 million of Robert Pera's money to Dylan Brooks.
A lot of money.
That is a lot of money. But I feel like I made a pretty strong and fair argument that Dylan Brooks is a key contributor to the culture of the team. You know, something that I left out in the episode, you know, going all the way back to my days at GBB. I have said forever that the Memphis Grizzlies need someone that can stop Luka Doncic, or at least slow Luka Doncic, if they're serious about being a Western Conference contender for the long haul, because Luka Doncic isn't going anywhere. Not only is he in the Grizzlies conference, he's also in their division. So you're going to have to contend with Luka for the next 8 years or so, at least, to get out of the West. So you need someone to try to slow him. And I would bring up Ben Simmons and other names in the past to possibly be that defensive stopper. Dylan Brooks isn't going to necessarily stop Luka Doncic, but I've seen Dylan Brooks make Kevin Durant miserable multiple times. And I think that Dylan is as good of any option as you could potentially have. So I ran down all the reasons and arguments for Dylan on that episode. I said, I am prepared, DeMichael, to give Dylan Brooks a 4-year, $80 million contract that certainly puts the Grizzlies in salary tax or luxury tax conversations, especially going into the first year of Desmond Baines's almost certainly now to be max contract. Am I crazy? Am I overreacting? Am I too fired up by one? Again, he shot 30 shots and made 31 points or scored 31 points. So a very Dylan Brooks performance. Am I overreacting? Am I going too deep here? Or am I finally just opening my eyes completely to the importance of Dylan Brooks to this roster?
You know, before I answer the question, you know, straight up, I will say that I have been a guy who has been, you know, kind of trying to educate people a little bit more on what this guy brings to the table. You know, we talk about his 41, 42% shooting from the field, you know, and things like that. But when you factor that in, you have to factor in, like, there's a net to this. He's limiting guys, holding them below their field goal percentages on the other side of the floor. You know, I mean, Ja Morant, and, you know, I think Ja Morant's a very much improved defender. But Ja Morant last year or a couple seasons ago may be giving up a lot of points on the other end. Desmond Bane may be giving up a few points, you know, on the defensive end to kind of negate the offensive impact that they bring to the table. Whereas Dylan Brooks, you know, you talk about it, it's the reverse way around. You know, he's taking away on the offensive end for himself, but he's, you know, doing some positive things on the defensive end, and that's why he has this positive net rating. That's why the Grizzlies are so much better, or why he's on the floor so far this season. But, Joe, I say all that to get to my point. I want to see a little bit more, you know. But this is exactly what I want to see. And I've been thinking about just going more into detail writing about it too, in terms of this is kind of a tryout for him. You know, I mentioned it a couple episodes ago as well. I mentioned the fact that you looked up and down the roster. Ja Morant, contract extension. Desmond Bane, newsflash, he's about to get on for the boatload of money this summer. And you go down to Jaren Jackson Jr. His first year of his contract extension has officially started this season. Steven Adams extended. Brandon Clark extended. Tyus Jones re-signed. John Conchar extended. Pretty much all these guys on this current roster that have been extension eligible and have played with the Grizzlies in the past have been extended. Then there's Dylan Brooks. He got extended, you know, by this regime a while back, but the clock is back on now, and he's in a contract season where he'll be entering free agency next offseason. So this is sort of a tryout. So my answer to that is let's see what he does for a couple more games. Let's see how, you know, this plays out over the course of, I would say, you know, this entire stretch while Desmond Bane is out. Let's see how this plays out, because this is what we want to see from him, right? You want to see him become that secondary scorer. You want to see him, you know, be that two-way effective player who can knock down three-pointers and do all those things. So I think that's where we are, you know, with his progress and what he means in terms of value to this team. But you also want to see him do all those things, and then you want it to mesh well with Ja Morant, with Desmond Bane, with Jaren Jackson Jr. Those are the two things I want to see before I say, hey, let's throw the bank at him. But I'm with you on the defensive end. That's where the value starts. I think when it comes down to him, what he can, he is your guy on this team. You say, if you go against Luka, you got a chance with Dylan Brooks. We saw how Luka did them, you know, sure, when Dylan Brooks didn't play. It wasn't pretty, Joe. It was not pretty. And we've seen, you know, how they fared against some other kind of bulkier guards, because I think you have some talented wings who are maybe a little bit smaller defensively. John Conchar, Zaire Williams, I like those guys on the defensive end a little bit. But Dylan Brooks is your guy who you need that ace defender. He's that makes him valuable alone. But now it's all about how he meshes with these guys, and I want to see him take that next step to show, hey, I can do more when presented the opportunity this season.
What a cop-out. What a line straddler, DeMichael. Come on. Are you going to give the guy close to $100 million or not? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just giving DeMichael a hard time. I think that your fairest point there, DeMichael, was the point that you made about the team needing to see him with Ja and Dez and Jaren. Right, because there's a serious opportunity cost decision that they have to make here, because it would be only $14 million in cap space if they, you know, got rid of all their cap holds, and Danny Green's almost certainly not going to be around Memphis, at least not at that price tag. So you imagine they'll renounce him. You know, they have the potential to do some things, but it's an Occam's razor kind of situation, right? The easiest thing is the most likely piece that's going to fall into place. And Dylan Brooks has been a Grizzly his entire career. I don't think he's going to command a Jaren Jackson Jr. contract. $80 million might be too much. It could also arguably be not enough. I think somewhere around that $17 million cap hold is the minimum.
I know Robert Pera has a big bank, but you just right. Gonna throw $20 million a year at a guy when that Desmond Bain contract. I mean, we saw Jordan Poole's, right?
It's definitely going to be more than that.
We saw Tyler Herro's, right?
Also going to be more than
that. That's $130 million, $140 million right there. He's going to top those dudes. So you talk about Ja, Jaren, and Desmond Bane. It's getting flooded, you know, over there. The bank accounts get a little flooded. So Dylan Brooks, I think he's really going to have to prove it, you know, that they should commit that amount of money to him. But, you know, I think we're at that point in time. Would I do it right now? Probably not. If that's what you wanted to hear, Joe, I think that's what you wanted to hear. That's what you wanted to hear.
Probably I just not. Like for us to we agree too much. We got to disagree every once in a while.
Well, I mean, you bring some of your Twitter takes to the show, and then, bring some of those Twitter takes to Locked On Grizzlies, and we'll have some fun with that.
Sounds like a good all-star break episode of Locked On Grizzlies. Joe's Twitter takes and which one DeMichael wants to fight over. I like that. Very good. We'll preview the upcoming game for the Grizzlies against the upstart Sacramento Kings next here on Locked On Grizzlies. But first, I do want to shout out today's episode sponsor. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. As the world's largest therapy service, BetterHelp has matched 3 million people with professionally licensed and vetted therapists available 100% online. Learn more and save 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/lockedonNBA. Also want to shout out Locked On Sports Today. Make sure that you're making it your next listen after this episode of Locked On Grizzlies. Check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast. It's the biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day. It's available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get podcasts. Today's episode is also brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. These days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs, which helps you find the right people for your team faster and for free. You add your job as well as the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you are hiring. Then once you get through that point, you want to make sure that you are checking out LinkedIn Jobs and using simple tools like screening questions that make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It is why small businesses rank LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus the leading competitors. We all want to finish the year strong. It's almost Thanksgiving. You see the holidays on the horizon, but you got to make the right hire to help your team do just that. Finish strong. LinkedIn Jobs is the way to go. It helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNBA. That's LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNBA to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. DeMichael, the Memphis Grizzlies head into a big game against the Sacramento Kings. Likely without Ja Morant, certainly should have Jaren Jackson Jr. back in the fold, barring some unforeseen issue that maybe comes for him, hits him in a way that nobody wants to see. I don't believe he was even on the injury report at all going into the Sacramento game. So he should play. I'm most excited to see him be the number one option because, again, you mentioned his minutes limit earlier in the episode. 25-ish is likely what we'll see him do. Maybe they let him run a little bit more since they're off until Friday, as we mentioned earlier in the show. But it'll probably be around 25 minutes again. In those 25 minutes, I want to see him be aggressive offensively. I want to see him create off the dribble. I want to see him find his shot on the perimeter when he has the opportunity against a smaller big or a big that maybe that doesn't have the lateral quickness of him. I want to see him dominate that matchup. And I also want to see what he can do as a rim protector against a Domantas Sabonis and the other bigs of the Sacramento Kings. They are a unique team in terms of their depth, especially in the front court. And I think Jaren provides a skill set that is uniquely suited to limit Sabonis and the other Kings players there in the forward and center spots. So that's what I'm most interested in is Jaren Jackson Jr. in that number one slot, at least for one more game, assuming Ja doesn't ascend to playing in this one. What are you looking forward to? Again, against a Sacramento team that is playing really good basketball right now, DeMichael.
You mentioned it. Six straight wins. They're calling these guys the Purple Beam.
Light the beam.
Have you heard about it?
I have. It's actually really cool. I wish I could make fun of it and say that it's lame, but it's actually a pretty
it's one of the fun thing they're doing in the NBA's right now. Joe, could you probably could explain it to the listeners better than I can.
It's if you've ever what's the best way to describe this? If you've ever been to a city that's opening like a new restaurant. Right. Or they're like a nightclub is open and they're trying to like a spotlight that goes back and forth. It looks like that. It's a beam of light that shoots up from their arena when the team wins a game and they do like a light the beam and they hit this imaginary button that lights the beam. And, you know, the fans are getting behind it. And it's one of those things, again, I the shallow and pedantic side of me wants to make fun of them. But, you know, it's organic, right? Like the Grizzlies have a lot of things that are organic within the Grizzlies organization, like the championship belts, you know, the wrestling night. That doesn't make sense really anywhere else in the NBA other than Memphis. You know, that's something that I think I would compare it to. That they're kind of finding their own unique niche thing that they do after they win games. And they're buying into it.
Yeah, since they've started that, 7 out of 8 wins, I believe, is the exact number. Six straight overall for the Kings. One of the hottest teams in the NBA. And quite frankly, you know, I was talking to someone earlier just about how this team, you know, makeup-wise, there's some similarities to last year's Grizzlies. Not saying, you know, that's who they are, but makeup-wise, you have a point guard in De'Aaron Fox. By the way, he is averaging more paint points than Ja Morant right now. Can you imagine that?
He's playing really good basketball.
He's the player who led – Ja Morant led the NBA in average paint points per game last season. De'Aaron Fox, I think Luka Doncic is his top guard. I don't count Luka. He's 6'7", 230. De'Aaron Fox, for my money, he is leading the guards right now in paint points per game. So he's ahead of Ja in that area. Then you factor in Kevin Huerter, right? He kind of reminds me of the Desmond Bane role last season. You know, you have De'Aaron Fox putting a lot of pressure on the paint, getting downhill, using his pace, using his speed. And you have Kevin Huerter, who teams say, hey, don't leave him open. Do not leave that guy open. And he's the shooter. And then you have Domantas Sabonis, right? I think different skill set overall from Jaren Jackson Jr., but the playmaking ability, you know, the ability to handle the basketball, put it on the floor. He's probably a more polished scorer, I would say, than Jaren Jackson Jr. right now. Jaren Jackson Jr. is the better defender. So that's how those switch out. But in the end of the day, you have three players on each team, Grizzlies last season and, you know, the Kings this season, that kind of have similar makeups, not necessarily the wholesale games, but in the ways that they can use them are kind of similar. You know, you use De'Aaron Fox to put the pressure on you to get the ball up court. You use, you know, Kevin Huerter, you know, for spacing. And then he knocks down all these three-point shots at a high, efficient clip. And Domantas Sabonis grabs rebounds. And sometimes he pushes the basketball himself. Mm-hmm. And he can, you know, they can play through him, through the mid-post, through the high post, in situations like that. Sacramento is fun to watch. How fun? They lead the NBA right now, 121 points per game, Joe. This offense is incredible. And third in assists, they average over 28 assists per game. The Grizzlies are 19th right now with 24 assists per game. The Grizzlies are also 11th in the NBA at 114 points per game. Sacramento's offense is next level. Now, this isn't one of those super disruptive defenses by any stretch. Sure. They're last in the NBA in blocks. Again, Domantas Sabonis, he does a lot of great things on the offensive end. He's not this big shot blocker or anything at the rim. They're last in the NBA in blocks, and they're 21st in steals. And so the Grizzlies, even without potentially having Ja Morant and Desmond Bane and those guys, there will be opportunities for the offense kind of to, you know, take advantage of what should be, you know, a less disruptive defense, a weaker defense than those top-tier defenses that, you know, they've seen like the Celtics in recent weeks. So all things considered, I think this could be a shootout, Joe.
It definitely could be a shootout. And the only reason I'm taking the Grizzlies to win this game is the fact that the game is happening in Memphis. Because I know you know this, DeMichael. You've tweeted about it, and you may have written about it as well. The Grizzlies inexplicably are much better defending at home. I think it's something like 28% opponents shoot from beyond the arc.
Top five in the NBA at home.
Yeah.
They're one of the worst five in the NBA on the road. Yeah.
And you mentioned the Sacramento Kings offense correctly. So they have six players led by De'Aaron Fox, but Sabonis, Huerter, Harrison Barnes, the subject of Grizzlies trade rumors literally every year. You didn't mention their bench, but Malik Monk and Terrence Davis are two guards that are having a lot of success. Davis is only averaging about 8 points a game.
South Asian guy, yeah.
Yep, that's right. You got Keegan Murray, who is early rookie of the year. I know Paolo Banchero will probably have something to say about that down in Orlando. Mm-hmm. But Keegan Murray is having a really strong campaign early on as a great floor spacer for them. Yeah. They've got a lot of guys that are able to space the floor. They're able to have a very efficient and effective offense. the reason I would say the Grizzlies are going to take this is for exactly what I just said. They're going to defend better at home for some reason. The Kings won't be as hot as they have the potential to be. I don't think the Grizzlies blow them out by any stretch because, again, no Desmond Bane, almost certainly no Ja Morant. But I do think Jaren Jackson Jr.'s presence, exactly like you said, he's going to be well-rested. They don't have anybody that can defend him. Nobody on the Kings roster can defend or stop Jaren Jackson Jr. If he physically is capable of doing so, he is going to dominate this game on both ends of the floor if he plays to his capacity. This would be a great, hey, NBA, guess who's back? Jaren Jackson Jr. is kind of game. It's a big opportunity for Jaren in that way.
He should be matched up against a rookie, Joe.
Right?
He's a fifth-year guy now. I said this about Jaren Jackson Jr. last season. When that contract extension kicks in, which is this season, when that extension kicked in, those buzzwords, potential and all that, that's out the window now.
It's gone.
That's gone. There's no more, oh, man, imagine what he's going to be in 2 years. Mm-hmm. Or imagine what the time is now. The time is right now. And we're talking about a fifth-year guy who just, I mean, I called him Jaren Jackson on Twitter. Did you like that joke?
I did like that.
He threw down two big-time dunks, and you need to see more of that. He's 6'11". He's going to have Keegan Murray more than likely, you know, on him in this game. And we saw, too, in that first meeting between the Grizzlies and the Kings, this is something to monitor as well. Steven Adams kind of gave Sabonis fits with his physicality. You know, Sabonis committed a couple fouls and was frustrated because Steven Adams is a big dude, big, strong dude. So
he leaned being a big dude.
Exactly. Sabonis broke into the NBA as a power forward. Now, as you know, there were better net rating numbers when he played center and things like that, and that's what Sacramento is buying into. But against the Grizzlies, he's kind of on the undersized side. So still, that's all to say, they're not going to put him on Jaren Jackson Jr. more than likely. It's going to be Keegan Murray. And he has a very, you know, noticeable size advantage against Keegan Murray. So I'm expecting Jaren Jackson Jr. to put the ball on the floor, go at him, you know, draw a couple fouls, shoot some free throws, and force the issue a bit too, John.
I think you're right. I think that the Kings are a great story. I'm not sure that they are fake in that way. I think they'll be in the play-in, playoff conversation the entire season. But I do think that the Grizzlies are a tough matchup for the Kings, especially when Jaren Jackson Jr. is healthy. He's going to be playing in this one. I've got Memphis. But, again, Sacramento deserves respect. I think they're for real in the playoff hunt in the Western Conference. Thank you for making Locked On Grizzlies your first listen today. For your second listen today, check out Locked On Sports Today. From the games that matter the most to the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with local experts and insights that only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports Today, available on this app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. Next time we are on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast and YouTube waves, we'll have a game to break down, all the ins and outs. Hopefully we see a dominant Jaren Jackson Jr. performance against the Kings. A couple of days off for Memphis heading into the Thanksgiving holiday. I feel a Thanksgiving episode coming on to Michael. Maybe not for the Wednesday, but maybe on Thanksgiving itself. Maybe we drop a tasty morsel, a feast of Thanksgiving Grizzlies gratitude moments. There might be something to that, DeMichael. I guess folks are just going to have to stay tuned.
Just going to have to stay tuned, you know, because I know on Thanksgiving evening, on that day, I'm going to be stuffing my belly a little bit.
We're going to be taking Friday off. You guys can just go ahead and plan. It's your team every day except for Friday. DeMichael and I, we're taking off Thursday night. We're going to be taking I think it's Dramamine or whatever it's called in the turkey that makes you sleepy. Whatever that is, it may not be Dramamine. It might be the thing for like when you're sick in your stomach. Whatever it's called, dopamine, whatever. I'm going to be passed out from eating a lot of food. So we're gonna let Friday be Friday. But going into maybe you can start your Thanksgiving morning with some Locked On Grizzlies thanks over these next couple of days. So stick with Locked On Grizzlies. It's appreciated. Make sure that you are subscribing, rating, reviewing, checking us out on YouTube. All that is well and good as you stick with us here and make us a major part, hopefully, of your Memphis Grizzlies content consumption experience. For my wonderful co-host, DeMichael, I am Joe. Until next time, stay locked in, Grizzlies fans. This is Locked On Grizzlies.